Welcome to the next episode of CISO Talks, and we're very privileged today to have two members of RingCentral, which is a multi-billion dollar company. Gartner names it as RingCentral as in the Magic Quadrant leader for the ninth year in a row, which is just fantastic. So we're joined today by Michael Armour, who is CISO, has been a practitioner in the business for 20 plus years, previously worked for 8x8, and is now joining us today in the role, like I said, in RingCentral. And then we also have Ashu Varshney with us, who's been with the company since infancy, really, 14 years service. You both shown your age a bit there, but used to be at WebEx and has been in the business for over 25 years. So it's really a privilege to have you on with us. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Excellent. Glad to be here.
Perfect. So let's start with something really that we generally ask at the beginning of every one of our CISO talks, really, is in terms of your roles like individually. So starting with you, Michael, like what is the main role of you as the CISO that you currently have? And then the same question, obviously, to yourself, Ashu.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. The role of the CISO is actually, it's been evolving, right, over the past, you know, 5 to 10 years. We've seen a fairly significant transformation, not only in, you know, overall accountability and responsibility, you know, but span of control, board reporting, et cetera. My primary role, my mission at RingCentral is to help make the company the most trusted brand in the industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's done through, you know, partnership with the business, with the technical organizations. And, you know, we have a clear focus on not only managing risk for the company, but helping the company understand how security can help create competitive differentiation in the industry on the product side. So, you know, my role spans not just the, you know, back end or back office traditional responsibilities, but also the product responsibilities. And one of the things that makes RingCentral really, really unique is this opportunity actually to position security as a differentiator with our customers. So, you know, what is my mission? What is my role as the CISO at RingCentral? It truly is to help make the company the most trusted brand in our industry.
Fantastic. Excellent. So, and just going into a little bit more of that, like you said, obviously it's to bring that trusted role in. And you said that the role has been changing, like it's evolved quite a lot. What do you see as the biggest change? Is it that idea that rather than just being in the back end and working like behind the scenes, is it now more about working with the board members, having to present, having to manage and lead people more than it ever has been? Or is that like, would you say that's the biggest change?
I would say the two biggest change factors have been, number one, a seat at the executive table, mm-hmm. and a position of accountability at the executive level. You know, and that also includes a seat at, you know, the board level, right? Ensuring that the board is comfortable with the cybersecurity program and the overall risk posture. You know, there's new regulations that are coming forth, right? In December, we had new SEC disclosure regulations released. You know, public boards are paying close attention. They have a fiduciary responsibility to ensure that the cybersecurity plan at a public company is sufficient to meet the risk tolerance. So, you know, this kind of seat at the table with the executive team, increased accountability, and then opportunity to actually create differentiation on the product side. It's not just a function that sits behind a curtain any longer and manages back-end risk.
Fantastic. And then with, I suppose that's a really good lead into then in terms of the CIO, Ashu, like, What do you see as the main points of your role then? And then we can obviously like move on to have a look at like you guys working together, where it may not have been traditionally that, but it is now. So what would you say the main points of your role are currently?
Yeah, Shu. But my role at RingCentral, being the CIO, it has it's there are two pillars of the overall corporate functions that I'm responsible for. One is the product and the cloud operations side of the business. We are the SaaS provider ourselves, right? And incidentally, the main customers that we sell into, I mean, our main persona of customer, the demographic that we generally work with on the customer side is also CIOs, right? So the buyers of our products are actually CIOs as well. So for to my function involves like running the product, making sure it's something that you know make it an attractive proposition for the CIO at an enterprise, from a small to a large scale enterprise, to making it an attractive proposition for them to buy from the product operation side. And also, the other part of my responsibility is the corporate IT, which involves your running your offices, managing your enterprise applications, managing your lead to cash processes to make sure to enable the entire go-to-market strategy for the product. And understanding our product at an intimate level as to how it's used on a day-to-day basis, how it performs it out in the wild, it actually brings a very different lens when I'm taking care of the corporate side of the function. So those are, and in most of the SaaS companies are kind of moving toward SaaS and cloud product companies are moving toward this kind of an expanded CIO role, which is not traditional anymore, right? It's just a back office function, but it actually spans both sides of the equation because it not only because, like I was mentioning earlier, it actually caters to our the main customer demographic that we caters to our CIOs, but also you by adopting our own product in our own, I mean, we are actually a mid to a large company ourselves. So before we decide to put any of our product, which is the real-time communication, life and blood of most of the companies, your UCaaS product, your contact center product, the whole businesses are based upon that. Before, if we are not using it in this with the same rigor within our own corporate IT, if we are not using it in our own contact center, so it's kind of becomes a little bit of a, you know, not such a fair posture in front of the customers that you are positioning your products. And like Michael was mentioning earlier, one of the core attribute of our brand is the trust, where we I mean, feature wise, I mean, us and our competition things are comparable, but when it comes to the matter of trust, that's where we stand head or head over head like completely head over shoulder in front of our when you compare us with our competition. And when we say trust, it's about the reliability of our product, how much we invest in the security of data and network for our customers. So all that, and as a company, this is something, trust is something that we are extremely, I mean, we are the first one who went to the market with a contractually obligated 5-9 of availability. We have had 5 years of continuous 5-9 availability, which is kind of unheard of in SaaS business. I mean, you compare it with some of our competition, they actually operate at 3-9s, right? So all this trust postures, and that's why the function that I do and the collaboration between me and Michael is so much important to maintain that important aspect of our brand.
Absolutely. So you get that complete blanket over the whole company, I would assume, with regards to that. So obviously the traditional role, like you said, with CISOs and CIOs is that it was behind curtains and it was something that wasn't really visible. It was more behind the scenes. But when you found that now that you're now starting to work, you've worked together and you've obviously seen the positive effects of working together, was there any like initial aspects that were difficult to circumnavigate at that time? Or was it, did you find it sort of slotted into place the second that you started working together?
I mean, if you think about it, the function of a CIO and function of CISO, I will let Michael opine as well. It has some natural friction to begin with. I mean, if you just look at the charter, right? I mean, from a CIO standpoint, the pace of innovation, pace of going to market, cost control, all these become a very important aspects of what I do day to day. Michael, on the other hand, looks at it from a risk posture, right? Compliance and so on and so forth. These, by their very nature, have a lot of friction. But at the same time, to be able to create trust as a brand, as a core brand for your company and for your product, I mean, this needs to have we have to learn to find natural synergies in our function and kind of ignore the friction.
Yeah, it's like synergy and balance, I suppose, you're trying to find between the two roles. What's your point of view on that, Michael? Is it similar, do you feel?
I do. I couldn't agree with Ashu more. The only thing that I would add is that I consider it a healthy friction. If everything was perfect there between us and we weren't challenging each other, something would probably be wrong. But we have a common set of goals. And the other side of this is, you know, we have a trusted relationship, and that's been built over time. And I think that's important for the overall relationship between CIOs and CISOs. I know that I can pick up the phone and I can call Ashu at home at 9 o'clock at night, and we can have a discussion. We can have a discussion about compliance, risk posture, cost, and, you know, to a certain extent, you know, we're both on the hook for very similar results. We're on the hook for Five9's availability. You know, that's a core tenet, as Ashu said, to our, you know, our overall product brand. So, you know, even having the set of common goals helps create a common focus and a common set of synergies. But there is, from time to time, friction, and it's really important that, you know, we have this trusted relationship where we can put all of our cards on the table. Working with Ashu, he's very transparent about what his constraints are. I'm transparent about mine. But at the end of the day, it's about the customer result and the business objective. And at the end of the day, we always come together.
Yeah, absolutely. And friction fuels innovation. I love it. If everybody agrees on something, everybody's on the same page, it's not innovative enough.
That's very true.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you said it, Michael, where there's no challenge, there's almost things like there's something wrong with that, because if you're challenging each other, it means you're driving each other forward, doesn't it? So I can see where that's going to really benefit. And obviously, I assume then with that same idea in mind is that almost the roles sort of blend, like you must, as a CISO, pick up an awful lot and have learned an awful lot from a CIO, and equally from CIO to CISO. So you actually, if you were to say, not say you are, but if you were to go into another role with it, you can almost take all of that experience as one whole. And I suppose that, again, is just, everything is just building that framework around the different roles, really, and making it, it's becoming a more of a blended role. Is that, or would you say I'm off the mark a little bit?
I think that's an absolutely fair characterization. You know, there's some kind of organizational development theory that, you know, looking forward, there's some proposals, there's some research on the table that suggests that, you know, candidates in these roles that have actually been in the opposing role would be tremendously valuable. And, you know, Ashu has had responsibility for security in the past. I've ran global IT for a large organization, so I have an appreciation for some of the challenges that Ashu is up against, and I'm certain he has an appreciation for the challenges that I'm up against, and that comes from past experience. And, you know, having those ingredients in the recipe, I think, helps energize the synergies that we're often looking for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. It sounds great in terms of the, like, obviously for myself as an account executive, but to actually hear the different ideas and how you meld them together. I think it just it's got to strike trust, because the way you talk of it is it builds trust in what you're saying and how you can how you put it across. So when it comes to things like I suppose like your expertise, Michael, in terms of like global privacy laws and so on, how do you use both expertise really to push that product forward and to become that symbol of trust? Is there any key aspect of that that you like drive from a CIO point of view and then drive from a CISO point of view to make sure that that is absolutely the core element of what you're selling?
Sure. I can go first, Ashu. You know, one of the responsibilities that I have to the company and to Ashu, you know, is to ensure that there's a tight partnership with legal, and we're telegraphing new regulations that may be emerging that impact privacy, for example, disclosure. And those requirements often translate to new control requirements, for example, that may impact business process applications. And, you know, it's my responsibility to try to get in front of that as soon as possible, get that information into Ashu's hands as soon as possible so that he can begin thinking and kind of architecting and readying so that, you know, we're prepared when these new regulations take effect. And, you know, for security, you know, there's a lot of new regulation under consideration. I mean, if we think about artificial intelligence and the evolution of AI and the integration, you know, RingCentral is an AI first company. And, you know, we've taken that position strategically. So, you know, we need to be thinking about, you know, how the use of AI might create risk for us, how it might be governed in the future from a regulatory point of view. So Ashu and I need to stay very tightly connected, you know, and I do my best to keep him advised. Legal is a key partner in this process as well.
And from your point of view, Ashu, how do you feel that works?
Yes. I mean, I think data privacy, the world is changing very fast. And in our industry in particular is also changing pretty dramatically. I mean, we do enable real-time communication, whether it's over voice, video, or messaging. And all of them are highly regulated. I mean, maybe United States is the least regulated of all the geographies in the world. As soon as you step out of North America, this is one of the most high regulated industry in the world. And even US with rise in phishing and all kind of scamming that's being used for these modalities of communications, it's also changing. So staying on top of these regulations and making sure that they are prioritized correctly in the road network roadmap so that we continue to maintain, not because staying compliant with the regulation is also one of the core tenets of you being a trustful brand, right? Yeah, so that's one of the top priorities for us. I mean, if we think about like most of the time, the collaboration that happens between Mike and me is actually looking at, you know, mitigating existing risk and mitigating all the emerging risks. I mean, those are the, and obviously audit issues and findings. So that's something that's we spend a lot of time upon. And like I said, I mean, our industry is changing and the world is changing. Data privacy is becoming more, the privacy for data and how, I mean, it started in Europe, but it's kind of like, you know, it is becoming kind of a commonplace everywhere. And it's and for a good reason. Right. I mean, the especially the cloud products, the amount of data that our end customers trust us with and the sensitivity of data. If as a brand, if as a network provider, if we are not able to put right protection around it, and not only from the standpoint of, you know, the data leakage from our network, but also within our employee base, like where the data is stored, who has access to it. All those things have to be mapped out correctly, and we have to make sure that we stay compliant with all the emerging regulations. around data privacy and so on. And the, this is where a lot of our efforts go into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, I think that's become the main driver for an awful lot of companies. That it has to be now, is like you said, starting in Europe and moving across now. And I'm seeing more and more in the States that there's more and more regulation coming out that means that those controls need to be in place. There's a recent law, like Law 25 in Canada, doing exactly the same thing, bringing that and making sure that this, that companies are responsible for what is happening in terms of data. And then, like you said, Michael, with the like AI coming through as well, I mean, that's, it's bringing with it its own, it brings with it obviously massive benefits, but it also has those huge challenges when it comes to that data privacy and so on. And so that brings me to really...
Can I add one additional thought to that topic? You know, as Shu said, you know, compliance, regulatory compliance is a key tenet to customer trust. I completely agree with that. And emerging regulation can be a driver for change, right? And it drives collaboration between security and, you know, the CIO organization. You know, another key driver outside of regulation is changing customer expectations, right? Customers are also subject to regulation, but more than ever, they are becoming more educated. They have an increasing understanding of their liability and their risk around proper data management. And, you know, we're seeing customers, and as Shu kind of alluded to this, asking us more and more, you know, where is my data? Who has access to my data? You know, is it secure? Is it in country, out of country? And, you know, our ability to ensure that, you know, we're in full compliance, that we can respond to our customers' inquiries, you know, in a timely and accurate fashion, you know, is really, really important. And, you know, we're seeing an increase, particularly in our enterprise customer base, of, you know, these questions coming in. And, you know, we're laser locked on ensuring that, you know, we can respond timely, we can respond accurately, and we can instill confidence in our enterprise customer base that their data is well protected.
Absolutely. With that in mind, really, and it sort of brings back to like the roles that, that you guys have both got. Obviously, we talked about there's been so much involvement over the last, well, even if you say the last 5 years, but the last 5 to 10 years, the roles of the CISO and the CIOs have changed drastically. Do you see that evolution continuing as AI becomes more and more prevalent? Do you see that the role is going to evolve even more still? And where do you feel that it's on its way to? Where do you feel it's going to get to?
Yeah, I can go first. AI is, I mean, this is mother of all trends, right? I mean, it's, I mean, if I could, like, it almost like the way it's changing how products are being developed, how customers are consuming it, and how corporates are functioning, how it's influencing all that. This is almost reminds you of mid-90s and internet. Right, it's almost that kind of a transformation it's bringing, and like internet kind of and with internet. So I think the two when we look at the watershed moment for technology in last 50 years, one was internet, and then the second was cloud computing. Like I think two of those things, and the third one, which is like I think bigger than the almost like if not bigger, at least at par with these two, is AI. And as these two kind of transition the roles of CIO and say security executives, the same way AI is going to bring another set of transformation in there. I mean, just to give you an example, I mean, the same function that used to happen, and I would, whether you look at security or a typical corporate workflow, the how you're marketing your product, how you're selling your product, how your customers are interacting with your product or with your customer care organization, all of them are getting changed by AI. So much of the data is going to go through this new layer of AI. And like to our previous point, the the data privacy challenges that we were having with internet and cloud computing, it's only going to get bigger. I mean, it's going to bring tons of efficiency into the products, into the corporate workflows. It's definitely it's going to spark another growth in the technology industry. I mean, that's what all the indications are. But at the same time, it's going to make a huge difference in how the IT and security professionals approach their jobs going forward.
Yeah, you know, and I would continue, and I completely agree with Ashu. I think he did a great job kind of illustrating, you know, how the business evolution, the transformation is happening with AI. The concern from a security point of view, and I know Ashu shares this, is the speed at which the evolution is happening. The use, the adoption, you know, companies are looking at any piece of research information that they can get that would be an indicator of how to govern this, how to govern the risk. You know, if you think about potential risk to companies for the use of AI, while it drives a ton of productivity opportunity across all the business functions, it does create privacy risk, regulatory risk, intellectual property, trade secret theft risk. There's all different manners of risk that are connected to this. And, you know, we've formed an AI governance council within RingCentral. Our goal is to try to keep pace and maybe get in front of this. But, you know, this is a council, and it's an opportunity for the CIO, the CISO, legal, and other business functions to come together and collaboratively work together to kind of govern the evolution of AI while adopting it. We don't want to slow it down, but we also don't want to create any unnecessary or unintended risk for our customers.
Of course, no, it makes absolute sense. And it seems that the more, obviously, it drives forward as well, the more it's bringing more and more roles together as opposed to driving them like to ever being siloed again. It literally looks like there's going to have to be almost new roles created that are going to encapsulate and bring together these whole teams. And like you said, coming up with different committees, different ideas that keep ahead of the curve rather than, but without slowing it down. Again, I think it's just, for me, it all seems like it's turning a new page every day. Everything's changing every day to get you, and it's almost, what I'm thinking of is like somebody new, like coming new to the role of the CISO or the CIO idea is like, it looks like it's so vast that it's almost an impossible task. But from the way you guys describe it, it sounds like if you had tips to give to anybody, like for starting in on the road to a CISO or CIO, what would you say are like the best advice that you could give? What would be your top three priorities you would say this is what you need to look to in order to make sure that success is around the corner type thing?
Yeah, let's you start.
Oh yeah, so I can start with one, right? I mean, I think when I think about I'll just focus on the SaaS products for a second, or the technology products. I think the war of features among your competition, it's useless. I think everybody will end up having the same features. Everybody, you can come up with anything and your competition will copy it in a while. I mean, that's how it happens in every industry. What cannot be copied is your rigor toward, your rigor, focus, and commitment toward keeping customer trust. Right? Customer experience and customer trust. And they're kind of like intertwined if you think about it, right? I mean, and this is where, I mean, if a CIO and CISO should be approaching their roles with that lens, that like the investment that they recommend, then, and the contribution that they make, it should toward making your a brand differentiation. What we do with the network reliability, what we do with our commitment to customer data privacy, what we do with our investment into the overall corporate security and the product security, all that is differentiated. And that's very hard to copy. I mean, that's not something that you can have a new product guy doing a very quick competitive analysis and giving a new requirement to the engineer and coming up in 15, 20 minutes. That's not how it works. This requires a lot of focus. It requires discipline, and it requires commitment from the highest level to make it successful. But once you get that, like what we've been able to do with building our brand of trust and reliability, that's hard to copy. I mean, it's not something that you can build overnight by just looking at your competition. So that's how that's the advice I can give to the CIOs and CISOs approaching this role.
Yeah, just to follow on with that, I mean, you know, there's a next generation of CIOs and CISOs, you know, coming to market, graduating from college. They work differently. Again, without giving away my age, I was pretty excited when I could send an email instead of mailing a letter. Well, you know, today's market, today's skill sets, they're growing up in a day and age of social media. So they interact differently. And the advice that I would give kind of new graduates, new practitioners, kind of new operations executives, you know, we all are measured on different things, but the common goal is the business objectives. That's always the common language that we can speak to. And I think it's important that anybody stepping into these roles, they have to understand the business objectives. They have to be able to speak in business language. You know, a CISO speaks security vernacular. You know, IT speaks kind of operations and process vernacular. We need a common language, and that common language is business. So, you know, stay focused on the business objectives. We understand that trust, you know, availability, reliability is a core tenet to our brand in the market. And, you know, that's the common vernacular that we use to come together on our objectives. So, you know, that's the advice I would give. The other thing I would add is, as we're moving faster in the evolution and the transformation of technology and products, it's hard to say this, but you can't be hasty. You have to be patient. If you think about the evolution of AI, there's new research emerging every day about potential risks and benefit. And if you're trying to react every day to what you're hearing in the news and the media and the research reports, you know, you're never actually going to get control of this. I think it's important that, you know, teams establish governance. They're thoughtful about how they want to approach the risk management and the enablement of these new transformational features across the business units. And, you know, RingCentral understands that culturally. You know, I talked a little bit about the AI Governance Council that we've formed. It's a forum where we can come together. We can calibrate ourselves. You know, we're not overly responsive to every new piece of threat research that comes out in the media the day before. And we can help keep ourselves in check with an understanding that we're all working towards a common business objective.
No, that absolutely makes sense. And the more and more I hear, like you talk about, like the rigor and the like the focus and building that trust and using that common language, is that a sense like the roles of the CISO and the CIO is now also about encompassing that team and bringing that whole team together, as opposed to working, like we said, like working traditionally, which was quite a lonely job at times. But it feels, the more you talk, I hear more and more about bringing the team in, understanding what the team's saying, and like you said, taking that time to really understand what's happening and what you can get and pick out different points. I mean, it sounds like I'm just trying to think of a better word than excitement, really, for the future, more than like reticence of what's coming. It's more of a, wow, like what is coming, because it's going to be like an exciting future in terms of what could be. But yeah, I mean, everything you've been saying today is just, it's really like hit a point with me where I'm like, obviously we work in the like data security side of things, and to hear the way you're talking as well, regarding the different pieces, it just sounds like we've got it all to come yet. And it's all on its way, and we're we've got a lot on its way. So just to finish off then, really, in terms of like talking about your roles and talking about what it is, what's going to be like your next 100 days? What's going to be the things that you're really going to focus on? Obviously, aside from the idea of the building trust and things like that, what would you say is that, like, what are you looking for in that next few months that is going to, like, keep you ahead of that curve?
Shu, do you want to start or would you like me to go first?
Why don't you go first? Yeah.
Sure. Look, I mean, there are, as we kind of look ahead over the next few months and into 24, you know, from a security point of view, we've got a couple priorities, right? You know, number one, you know, we're launching some data protection, data management initiatives. RingCentral has a highly effective data protection, data management program. But you heard me say earlier that we're seeing an increase from customers, more and more customers making inquiries about their data. We're seeing, you know, new regulation like emerging around privacy and data protection. You know, some customers are even asking, hey, can I keep my data in country? And, you know, that kind of flies in the face of the overall SaaS cloud strategy. And that's something that, you know, we're looking to work through. But kind of moving into the next few months and next few quarters, you know, we really want to be able to service our customers and improve the cycle and response times to their inquiries about, you know, how their data is being protected and managed. You know, the other thing that we're looking at, you know, we want to make sure that we're considering all market opportunities, right? You know, we're always looking to ensure that we're staying competitive, but from a product point of view, but I think you heard Shu say, you know, you develop a new feature set, it's not long before a competitor catches up. So we have to continue to be innovative on the product feature side. You know, and we're an AI first company. We're going to continue to, you know, put AI into the products and develop that. And we also would need to continue to explore market opportunities. The last thing that we're focused on at RingCentral, you know, I want to get better at becoming predictive relative to cybersecurity. You know, a lot of organizations, traditional security organizations, they have the typical controls in place around, you know, network security, identity access management. AI is playing a more prominent role in this space. This ability to actually stop being reactive and becoming more predictive about potential threats, you know, signals that may be hitting your network that may be a trigger or a lead to a potential incident. I want to help the company transform and become more predictive in that capacity. So those are kind of the top two or three areas that we're going to be focusing on.
Fantastic.
From the CIO standpoint, I mean, for next, if I look at the rest of next 100 days and the rest of the year, you know, we are in a, if you look at it, like as a company, we are at an inflection point as we are transitioning. I mean, for the longest time, we started with, like most other progressive SaaS companies in Silicon Valley, we started with one product and now we are transitioning into being this multi-product powerhouse, right? So that as a company, we are making that transition. And also the macro, if you look at the macro economy, it's also transitioning. Fed has finally taking a pause at raising the interest rate. At some point, they will start cutting it, and it will spark. It hopefully will spark another growth cycle within the sector. And the third leg of the stool is obviously AI, which is going to be the catalyst that's going to do that growth. So for us to make this and make sure that we are able to go through this market transition and company transition most effectively while leveraging these new trends like AI is a core focus for us. So it's like Michael mentioned, but if it means infusing AI more and more into our multi-product line to make sure that it results in the best customer experience, we are able to deliver the best along with the trust and reliability, which is foundational for us, but also more and more efficiency with this new trends in technology, we are able to deliver via our products. and also using them to bring the most efficiency into our corporate workflows, right? Whether it's how we market, how we sell, how we do run our customer care, and how we even do the cash collection and invoicing, all that, right? To bring more and more efficiency to make sure that we navigate this transition into the market and company in the rightful manner and be able to set the company for multi-years of profitable growth. That's the focus for us for the rest of the year.
Fantastic. It's been such an interesting conversation to understand the different roles, to understand how working closer together. And really, like, going back to what you said, is like that trust it seems to be the key word that runs straight through the middle of RingCentral and all through the middle of everything that you both have talked about today. So I really thank you. And like I said, it's been an absolute privilege to have talked to you both. So thank you, Michael. Thank you, Ashu. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It was amazing. It was an amazing conversation. Thanks for facilitating this. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. It has been a great conversation.